Welcome to RC Hangar Time, a podcast dedicated to the radio-controlled aviation hobby, where each week, our hosts discuss everything from airplanes to helicopters and everything in between.
All right, you ready to go?
Yep.
All right, this is episode number 60 of RC Hangar Time. This week, I've got CPO with me, and we're going to talk about some flying stuff. So hopefully CPO's been flying. What have you been up to, man?
I've been flying a desk, if that counts.
Nice. Been flying the mouse and keyboard a little bit?
Yeah. Dude, I'm a Google pilot.
Awesome.
So if you want cool RC aviation stuff, you probably won't hear it from me this week just because I've been really busy and the weather's been really crappy. And the two combined, that and sunset at like 4:30 or 5 o'clock, pretty much has me not getting much done. I did take the tricopter out for a couple spins, say around the neighborhood, but you know, up and down around near the house area, just doing some more practice FPV stuff. But I still have yet to make my Apollo 50. It's still in pristine shape, sitting down in the basement, just waiting for an opportunity. And I was hoping to do it this weekend, but I had plans pretty much all day yesterday and all day today. We have my son's in tournament lacrosse, and we had a tournament at the Naval Academy, Navy lacrosse tournament today. So we were out there all day today and didn't get back until sundown. So that pretty much ruled out, anything. And then yesterday was, you know, him practicing and other random stuff that we had to take care of around the house. So it's just been a miserable week or even a couple of weeks for getting any flights in. So I'm hoping soon I will get out of this rut. I'm taking one day off next week outside of Thanksgiving, taking off Black Friday. So maybe I can try and find some time to fly on Friday if the weather's nice.
Nice.
But that's it. Other than that, I've been doing some research, still trying to figure out where I want to go with FPV stuff, taking a look at all the different goggle types that are available. And I've been digging in hard still to full-scale manned aviation, what my options are and how to do that on the cheap.
Right.
And that's been interesting. I'll save the story for another time, but it's going to get expensive, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, that stuff isn't cheap for sure.
Yeah, so if you're interested in going halvesies on a Cessna, you know, let me know, but
right. If I was closer, I definitely would.
Yeah, that's the problem is I don't know anybody that's in my local area that already has a plane or has a instructor's license. So, but I'm meeting those people. I'm getting engaged in the community a little bit more, and I'm starting to meet people. So, I'm gonna get it figured out here soon. And to next Tuesday, another bit of side information, which is actually relevant to a degree, is I'm testing for my ham radio technician and general class license.
Good.
So, as we know, now that I'm starting to tinker with FPV, I need to at least get a minimum of a technician license to be fully legal in some of the frequencies and power levels that we're starting to deal with.
All right.
But I'm going to go ahead and I'm trying my best. I'm studying my butt off right now, and I'm going to try and go ahead and get the general license just in case I decided to take it a little bit further with ham radio. I'll already have that knocked out. So I'm pretty confident, 100% confident, actually, in the my ability to get my technician's class license. But the general class is a little bit of a stretch. There's a lot to know. So
yeah,
see if I can pull it off.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. It's not too complicated.
Anywho, that's all I've been up to, really.
Nice.
Been hanging out on Facebook as usual, checking out all the posts on the RC Hangar Time group and the RC Flight Club group, and watching some cool videos, some cool pictures, watching some cool builds, either start up or complete. Saw an interesting maiden, which I think we'll talk about a little bit later, and then saw an interesting crash. And I'll do a RC Hangar Time group shout out to Robert Bennett, who yesterday afternoon posted a pile of extra 300 laying on the grass. Poor guy, his comment says, "I should have stayed home," and it's just a pile. It kind of reminds me a lot of my Tucano crash, so I can feel for him. But I like later on down, he's commenting in the discussion, and he says, "It was an extra 300. Now it's just extra parts." I think that's the quote of the week for me.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. But
what have you been up to? Anything exciting?
Not much. Last weekend we had a youth football tournament for my fiance's son. So it was actually out of town down in southern Utah, Nevada. I don't know if you're familiar with Mesquite, Nevada. It's just on the border of Utah and Nevada, and Mesquite's like only an hour away from Las Vegas.
Okay. I'm familiar with Mesquite, Texas, but
right. But so we went down there, and I ended up packing up my 250 quad with me and got a few flights in, about four or five flights in on it down there, and got some video. I posted the video in the RC Hangar Time group. And that's about it for flying for me. I like that thing. It's nice because it's so small, I can just pack it up in my car and wherever we go, and I can have it ready to go,
Yeah, that's cool.
So, but other than that, once we got back, it's just been rain and snow. It's getting into our cold season, so I don't think there's going to be much flying soon. I mean, I'm working on the Utah FPV racing group, and we're trying to schedule our first race for the first week of December. So we'll see how that goes. It's going to be nice and cold out.
Yeah, that's. I'm not looking forward to it. And I don't know how it is over there, but I know around here they're predicting a pretty miserable winter for us. I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't know what they're saying, how it's going to be over here, but it snowed all day yesterday and all night yesterday, and woke up to a few inches of snow on the ground this morning, so it's definitely coming.
So we haven't had any snow yet, so it's just been cold and rainy, and that's about it. But I told my wife, I said, look, if we get a chance to move or I get relocated again, I'm shooting south. I just want to go south. That's all I want. I want one time to live. I grew up in Houston, so I'm used to that kind of year-round nice weather sort of a thing, and I miss it. I've been north of there ever since, and this is actually as far south as I've been. Which really, it seems like Maryland and Washington D.C., which I'm kind of right between Washington D.C. and Baltimore. I could 20 minutes either way, and I'm at either one of those. But
nice.
It seems like it would be a little bit further south than Denver, but it's actually almost the same as far as how it's positioned across the United States. But it's a little bit more temperate because of the coast. We've got that ocean to kind of keep things in control. So
yeah. Here we're right in the Rocky Mountains, so we get plenty of snow. And plenty of cold. Yeah. I mean, last week, it didn't snow last week much. It was pretty sunny out, but our highs were only up to maybe 30 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was pretty chilly. And then the lows in the morning are creeping down to the single digits.
Not fun. Not fun, especially when your hobby involves, the outdoors.
Right. Right.
Yeah, if we were all Minecraft gamers, who cares? But unfortunately, I want the weather to be nice so I can go outside and play.
Right. Well, this is usually my build season, so I kind of just go with it and make this my build season and stay inside and do some builds and get ready for the spring and summer. And I've been looking at a few hexacopter frames, mini hex frames. They're, like 380, 400 sized. So I think I've narrowed it down to the one that I want to order, but it's from China, so it may take a little bit to get here, maybe 10 or 12 days, but I'm hoping to get that ordered here soon, so I'm excited to try out a mini hex for FPV racing.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, I'm really digging this FPV racing stuff. It's getting addicting.
Nice. I'm still waiting on my quad parts to show up. I'm not 100% confident. I'm mildly confident that they'll ship probably next week, which means maybe after the week after Thanksgiving, I'll get those the first week of December ish, and then I can get that built.
Are these the ones you ordered from Ready Made?
I'm getting them from Ready Made. So
what's
so this
the
is
deal?
It's a review. So they're sending this stuff to me for review and to do a build video for them of these products. The problem is this product is new to them products that they don't have in stock yet. So they've been waiting on some motors and ESCs so that once they get them, then they'll send them to me. So it's not anything that they currently have in inventory. Which makes it kind of interesting because I get to check out some new stuff to them. I don't think it's anything new to market per se. It might be just a new product that they're carrying. But anyway, so I'm kind of I can't complain, right? I mean, if it takes a month or 2 months, I mean, so be it. But I think the last note I got from them was that they had indication that the products had been shipped to them. So as soon as they get them in stock, then they'll turn around and ship something to me. So
awesome.
But yeah, that'll be my 250 quad racer that I'm going to put together. And the thought being that I think they're going to put together a sort of all-in-one kit that's going to be very competitively priced and fairly budget-minded. I mean, you can go overboard with this type of stuff. So,
oh, yeah.
I think one of the things that they're interested in is seeing what I think about it as far as a, fairly budget-minded, complete, ready-to-go kit. So, and since this will be my first FPV quad, I'm a perfect test bed for that. So I'm trying to hold off, building my own because I really want that one to be my first time to build one just to see how well it and easily it goes together. So
yeah, they're pretty simple.
Yeah, but I'll have that soon.
Nice. Yeah. So other than that, I've just been hanging out and posting a lot of stuff in the RC Hangar Time group, and I'm really excited the way that's been going lately. A lot of activity, a lot of new members.
The thread that won't die.
I know. I'm hoping to keep that thing going. It's been a lot of fun and. A lot of people are starting to get a little bit more active, which is awesome. So hopefully we can keep that momentum going and into the new year and build that group even bigger, a lot more fans and listeners joining the show. So hopefully more of you fans and listeners out there will join the group and join in on the fun and get to know us, and we can get to know you a little bit better as well.
That's right.
And while I'm at it, I wanted to give Barry Knight a shout out. He had a post that stood out to me. He finally made in his Comet the other day, and he was really excited about that. And that Comet, it's a pretty interesting airplane. It's a twin motor airplane, and I think it's a nitro plane, right? Both those motors are nitro.
I don't remember for sure. It's a cool looking plane, but I'd have to go back and look. But I'm pretty sure he had nitro on there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty awesome plane, and it was awesome to see that he got to maiden that and get that going after his last airplane that he made and that he crunched up the fuselage a little bit.
Yeah, awesome. He had a fly around Obama, apparently. I saw that.
Obama was he's in Vegas, and he said that he saw Air Force One out there, and there was no flying for that day, which kind of hinders our hobby a little bit when that happens, but you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yep.
We all know how that goes.
It is what it is.
Cool. You got anything else?
No, that's about it.
All right, should we move on to our main topic?
Let's do it.
All right, so this week we're going to do something a little bit different. We've had a lot of interest in getting some people on the podcast as a little short segment to kind of spotlight some members. So we found a few members from the RC Hangar Time Flying Club. that we're going to add into the podcast and spotlight them individually and get to know them, and they can ask us some questions and we can interrogate them a little bit with some fun questions for them as well.
Nice.
So let me go ahead and add in our first guest and we'll get right to it.
This episode of RC Hangar Time is brought to you by SimpleCopter.com, makers of simple, rugged, and unique multi-rotor frames. Are you tired of having to replace an entire frame when you only break an arm? Or are you done with having a frame that looks like everyone else's? Then you need to go to Matt Hall's SimpleCopter.com. You'll find unique tricopter and quadcopter frames. They're simple, rugged, for flyers of all skill levels. And being that they're made up from wood, you can paint them to any color you choose. And they're cheap and easy to fix as well. So go to www.simplecopter.com.
So this right is, now, we're bringing on Michael McCormick, and we're going, he's our first guest that we're going to interview from the RC Hangar Time Flying Club. How's it going, Michael?
I'm doing great. Appreciate the opportunity to be on with you guys.
No problem. I got CPO with me today, and we're going to talk to you for a little bit and get to know you. And if you have any questions for us, go right ahead, and we'll have a little bit of fun with this for a little bit, and then we've got some others to get on to.
How's it going, man?
Sounds great. Doing great. How are you?
I'm good.
Excellent.
So I'll start off the questionnaires and, we'll ask you the basic stuffs. Where are you from and what do you mainly fly? Like airplane, helicopter, multi-rotor?
Sure. I'm in a suburb of Minneapolis up in Minnesota. And so right now we're not doing a lot of any kind of flying. mainly, my two boys and I got into this about 2 years ago, and we started out electric foamies, and pretty much stuck with that for all of 2012. And then this year we've gotten into the micro helis and some quads, and the multi-rotors is our new fixation. Really into that quite a bit right now.
Yeah, I see that you're getting into the FPV racing as well.
We're trying. We just built our first 250, and the next step is to try to piece together some FPV gear and actually get it in the air and try bang around the woods a little bit.
Yeah, that stuff's a lot of fun. I've been having way too much fun with it, and it's getting really addictive.
I've been enjoying your videos.
Thank you. How about you, CPO? What you got for him?
I just was wondering, because I know he and I have chatted a little bit offline previously about, FPV stuff, and I was wondering if he'd, Mike, have you figured out what you're going to end up doing yet? Or are you still trying to sort things out?
We're still sorting things out. I think I know where I want to go, which is the gear that you had and we're testing and put your videos up on. But I think we're going to probably take a baby step and try to piece together something a little cheaper, probably with the Hobby King gear and the Boscam type stuff, I think is where we're leaning. We haven't quite decided that yet, but.
Yeah, that stuff works well on a budget. Like, I think I mentioned to you, but I've certainly mentioned it before. I've got the Boscam 200 milliwatt 5.8 gigahertz set. That was, I think, $50 for the receiver and the transmitter, and it worked fine. I never had any video reception problems. In FPV racing, you're fairly close range anyway, so you can get away with a lot more, I think, than the guys wanting to go out and fly, airplanes at a mile away or whatever.
No, exactly. And that's, we're going to stay line of sight, and, really it's for quad racing and maybe do some videoing up at the lake and with the boys water skiing. So it's all going to be close in type stuff.
Nice. And for those who are listening who may not be familiar with your circumstance, you've got to buy times three because you're trying to outfit three of these things all at the same time for you and your two sons, right?
Correct. And that's why the budget approach is where I'm leaning right now. Just really mainly to get our feet wet, get a system and do our learning on that and then figure out where we're falling down on capability and augment from there.
Nice. Yeah,
that's a good approach.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. And I've heard with those Boscam receivers, I hear that they're actually maybe not, I don't want to say better than the Fat Shark ones, but the problem with the Fat Shark 5.8, or not the Fat Shark, the immersion, or is it, maybe it is the Fat Shark. I'm confused for a second. But the antenna, where you screw the antenna onto the receiver, on the Fat Shark ones, like the 200 milliwatt ones, they break off very easily. So I know a lot of people that have broken off their connector, what's that female connector called?
Was it SMA or?
Yeah. Yeah. That thing is very fragile on the Fat Shark ones, and they tend to break off really easy. And I know people that run the Boscam ones and have crashed it upside down, hit it, and they haven't had any issues with that thing popping off.
Well, and if that breaks off in flight, I'm assuming you still have power to that transmitter, and you'd probably fry it immediately, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Or if you lose video reception.
That too.
So, cool.
The big things is, running those things without the antennas is really hard for them. So, yeah, if you break that off and it's still got power, that's a good point. The other thing is, if you get the Boscam stuff, it's going to come with the rubber duckies. The first thing I would do is look at getting a decent antenna for that, some sort of a circular polarized antenna.
No, that's high on the radar. Yeah, I've seen a lot of posts on the recommendation, don't even plug them in, just get something different.
Yeah, for sure. I went with the Spiro nets. I like those Spiro nets on mine so far. But cool. You got any questions for us, Michael?
Well, some basic stuff, I guess. Where what would you recommend for the I won't say the beginner, but the intermediate or slightly above beginner FPV enthusiast? How do you get started? Learning how to fly without, ruining all your equipment.
Yeah, that's a good question. When I first started getting into FPV, I had an analogy that I started flying with a monitor. I didn't use goggles. So it was a little bit difficult with a monitor because it's like the first time you ever go snorkeling. You know you can breathe under the water, but you have a tendency to come up. And I was having the same tendencies when I was flying with the monitor. I wanted to look up at my airplane rather than fly with the monitor. So that's one hurdle to get over. But if you go with the goggles, you're pretty much strapped in. You've just got to just go for it. But I would suggest just if you're just getting into FPV and learning, just take it slow. Have a spotter or two with you and tell them to give you what kind of directions you're looking for, whether, if you want them to tell you if you're heading east, south, towards you, away from you, left, right, how high up you are, how far away you're getting. That's going to help you the most when you're first getting into FPV and getting used to the depth perception of the camera. Okay. So that's going to be the biggest thing, is having a spotter with you and them guiding you through it and just taking it slow and easy the first few flights. And after that, it's cakewalk. You can start flying on your own, but I always suggest having a spotter with you.
That's good advice. I figured we'd go someplace we're familiar with the geography.
Right.
And check out Google Maps of the area too.
Right.
Landmarks.
Go to somewhere that's pretty big, wide open area, and just do some NASCAR pass. Just do a big oval and get used to flying towards you and away from you and side in and that kind of stuff. So you can kind of get a feel for it. But it's okay. The more you do it, the easier it gets. FPV is pretty simple and really easy to do once you get into it, especially if you're just taking it slow and you're not racing through trees or getting into anything crazy. Because that'll come with time. Even right now, that I still have struggle with going really fast through trees and through obstacles and stuff. It gets pretty intense. I'll put it that way.
I can imagine. Well, that's good advice.
Yeah, so you're on the right track. You're on the right track as well with regard to taking a look at the Google Maps. Look at satellite view of the areas you plan on flying. If you're going to fly, at elevation and use the ground for landmark and orientation, because the number one thing I think I read the most is it looks entirely different from the air than it does from the ground. So it seems like it'd be intuitive to be able to find your way around, but it's going to look different. So if you're looking at the satellite view, you're going to have a better chance of not getting lost while you're up there trying to figure out which way you're going.
Yeah, that's what I figured. And yeah, I don't plan on going high, but, you know, things happen, and I want to be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In terms of other questions, I don't know, just not to dive into politics or whatever, but, you know, we're looking at getting into FPV here, and with everything going on at the FAA, I'm somewhat thinking, do I even bother? You know, what do you guys think? Is this premature on our part, or should we just go for it?
Nah, I say, you know, go for it and fly until they stop you, because, you know, I don't see them stopping the hobby or impacting it that much. I mean, there might be a few more rules and regulations added, but I don't see any issues with them banning it completely unless it gets way out of hand. What do you think, CPO?
Yeah, that's exactly my opinion as well. I don't think that they're going to ban FPV. I think that they're going to try and find some way to regulate it. I went on sort of a monologue about this on my last heli hangout on Friday, but I'll try not to rehash the entire thing. But, you know, I could see them, if you look at the approach that the FCC has made with regard to licensing for amateur radio, you know, use and taking advantage of the amateur radio, you know, bands and frequencies, they have sort of a tiered level of licensing, which says, I mean, to some degree, there's the unlicensed, right? Your cellular phones, your cordless telephones, your Wi-Fi routers, your you know, all those kinds of equipment, which are already certified by the FCC, are, you know, legal to use without a license. But then you get into the next class, right? Some of our FPV gear will fall into this, upping the power or using certain frequencies. Then you need a technician's class license, which is not too hard to get, but it's just basically almost like a safety briefing. You know, here's what you need to do to play nice with other people. And then it goes into the next level, which is you want to get into some more advanced, you know, complicated, specialized stuff. And then that would be your general license, and then you've got one more step, which is your extra license. So given that the FCC is, in my opinion, a fairly similar regulatory organization that the FAA would be, I could see them sort of following suit and saying, look, you know, we've already got unlicensed use, right? Our radios are already pre-approved, you know, by the FCC. So why would they mess with that? Maybe they start looking at different levels of flight. If you're flying a park flyer, you know, or something under a certain weight, it's completely unlicensed. But maybe you're flying, you know, heavier models like, you know, the 1 pound, 2 pound, 3 pound, you know, whatever, you know, helicopters and planes. Maybe a safety, you know, general or, you know, basic license would come into play. But so I say all that to say, you know, I don't think they're going to, like, flat out just kill it. I think what they're going to do, if they're smart, is come up with a way to get people baselined in some safety training. And they may just leave that to modeling associations like the AMA, but they may take it on as a government, you know, oversight. I'm not sure what they're planning on doing. But I can imagine with the AMA already in place, they might just defer that to the AMA and say, look, you guys figure out how to make sure everybody's baselined with safety information and whatever. And then maybe there's different classes. You know, if you're flying competitively or demonstrating, you have to have a different type of licensing or whatever. But anyway, I don't think it's going to go away. I just think we may have to jump through more hoops, depending on how active we are and to what level we're active in the hobby.
Right. And I want to just add in, you know, for the people that are getting into FPV, make sure that you go to the AMA website and check out the FPV rules that they already have, and make sure that you're following those and that you know those. And just be safe and don't do anything, you know, dumb with it, or, you know, flying over stadiums and flying over people, or, you know, flying over in the city limits where you're trying to get that cool shot, where, you know, where we're getting that bad publicity. Stay away from the videos with the bad publicity. Make good videos to, you know, set an example for the people that are getting into the FPV or for the first time or whatever it be.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So, cool. I have one last question before I let you go and we add in our next guest.
Sure.
This is a tough question for you. What do you think of RC Hangar Time and the RC Hangar Time Flying Club since you were a member?
Well, I think it's great. I've been a member of a, you know, club here locally, a couple different ones, and, you know, really haven't been able to connect with them. So RC Hangar Time and the local club concept is exactly what I was looking for. Someone that kind of shares maybe a higher level of interest that wants to get into the details of every aspect of the hobby and also be a reference or a resource for me. So, you know, the online component is great because you get, you know, you satisfy that need for immediate feedback. And then the local component that I'm trying to build here is just going to make it that much better. And, you know, with the electronic reach, we can hopefully build local clubs that are not dependent on being 5 miles away from each other. You know, in the state of Minnesota, we got clubs all over.
Right.
We can coordinate virtually and have those occasional one-off flying events. So I'm very excited about it. And, you know, looking forward to actually getting an active membership locally to augment the online experience, if you will.
Awesome. Yeah, that's exactly what we're hoping for. And, you know, I know it's starting off a little bit slow, but it's getting there. It'll get there, hopefully.
Well, I just, on a personal note, too, I've reached out or had the opportunity to speak to a couple of you guys. I know CPO, and he and I have talked, and I've also talked with Wade on some quadcopter stuff. I was looking to, and am looking to get into aerial photography on my business side a little bit, and so he was very helpful. So just comment regarding, like, you guys, the hosts, you're very, very approachable and very helpful to kind of that common guy out there that's just trying to figure out what the heck he's doing. So I do appreciate it.
Not a problem, because we're just regular people that have a passion for this hobby. So I don't have any problem helping people out and getting people involved in the hobby or bringing people closer together. You know, I've met a lot of great friends that I've never met in person from the RC Hangar Time group, and they'll probably be, you know, lifelong friends. So it's really, really an interesting time that we live in with all this, you know, social networking and all this stuff.
Well, it's been great. I've really enjoyed the short amount of time I've been part of it.
Awesome. You got anything else to add, CPO?
Well, it was a pleasure talking with you. Nope, I was just going to say it was a pleasure talking with you, Mike, and happy to help. And if you ever have any other questions, feel free to hit me up. I'll tell you what I know, and then I'll also tell you what I don't know. So I just, like Mike was saying, I too enjoy just helping people in the hobby. And sometimes I get to learn a lot from helping other people, so that's also cool.
Excellent. Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you for coming on. Hopefully we'll get you on again sometime.
That sounds good. You guys have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks.
All right. Let's add in the next person. Good. So we're adding Rick Rivers into the call now, and we're going to ask Rick a few questions and see what's going on with him. So,
what is your day today?
We're having a few people onto the show and spotlighting them and getting to know them a little bit. All right, so let's start off, you know, the basic questions. Where are you from, and what do you fly?
Well, I fly pretty much anything. I'm from originally Burlington, Vermont, but I'm living here in Bethel now.
Cool. So we know quite a bit about you from, you know, the groups and the stuff that you build, and it's awesome to see your builds and your creations. You want to go ahead and talk about those a little bit?
Oh, God, which one? There's so many.
Just, you know, basically how you got into building them and how you come up with these ideas. Because, you know, some of these ideas are, when I first see them, it's like, wow, that's crazy. But it's awesome as well. Like, you know, the big Pink Panther.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely something I thought about for years. And finally, I just said, you know what, screw it. I'm going to buy a bunch of pink foam and do it.
Awesome.
I don't know. I mean, my grandfather, he was my main inspiration for aviation, as far as that goes. He was a pilot, and right before he passed away, he handed me his pilot's license. But when I was a kid, I saw him fly a gasser, and I was hooked from there on, right around the age of 8, I think. And then from there on, I was pretty much hooked. But, you know, at the time, I was too young, so I couldn't afford it, so I got out of it for a while. And then when I got a job, once, you know, I was out on my own, not living with my parents anymore, I started off with Traxxas, went with just 2-channel cars, did the trucks for a while, and they bored me. So then I went to helicopters, then the helicopters bored me, so I went to planes, and then that bored me, and said, you know what, I'm going to start just making stuff.
Yeah, it seems like you have more fun building than flying, it seems like.
Oh, for sure. That's my favorite part of this whole hobby, is the building and that excitement when you're going to launch it into the air and you don't know what's going to happen.
Right. I wonder how that was with the Pink Panther, the feeling of that, you know, how that was going to go down.
I think I pissed 3 times before we flew it.
I can imagine. That'd be a...
Oh, yeah. My buddy Tad was there, and he was cracking up because he could tell. I was just, I had the jittery thumbs and everything. It was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, for the listeners that don't know, give us some dimensions on the Big Pink Panther, just to kind of put it in perspective how big this thing really was.
Oh, well, I mean, it started off with 8 feet long sheets of styrofoam, so that was pretty much my limit. I couldn't go much bigger, thank God. And I had to figure out a way to make it break down, so go into my van. So I had to take that into compensation. When I was making the wings, I said, oh, well, let's make each wing have 4 feet. I was like, wait a minute, the middle of the body is a certain width. Let me take that into compensation. So I took that measurement, split that in half, and then added that to each wing half. And then that's how I ended up with the size for the wings, because the wings, it would have been bigger than 8 feet, basically, if I would have gone with each wing that breaks off being 4 feet long. But
right.
From nose to tail, including motor, it's like, oh, God, what is it, 7'9"?
Wow.
Like, yeah, we had to hang it out over my balcony to find out how much it weighed. Yeah, the neighborhood got a kick out of that, wondering what the hell I was doing.
Awesome.
I'm out there with a fishing scale hanging this giant plane. I had to bring it downstairs, put it together, and then hand it up. My fiance, she's a trooper. Oh, my God. She held the fishing scale and hung the rope down and tied it around the motor, and that was also a good stress test for the motor on the mount.
That's pretty awesome.
Recent projects, though, today, we just went out and flew with my daughter and took out that that little Air Hog stunt plane. Did you guys see any of the posts I did where I turned it into a twin? The Air Hog stunt plane. I used a little single-engine motor, and I took these little mini EDFs I got from a buddy of mine on Facebook and put them on the wingtips underneath instead, and that thing flies fun as hell now.
Nice.
So they flew the hell out of that today, and then that little the Hawkeye Blue Sky from Air Hogs, that little black plane there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this next year, I want to get into FPV. That looks like a ball.
Yeah, we're all getting pretty addicted into the FPV stuff and the racing, especially for me. I'm having way too much fun with it, and it's a blast. I have a lot of fun with it.
It looks like a rush, and I mean, I guarantee you in the next year or so, there's going to be a sport on TV about it.
I know, right?
There's going to be like people competing and stuff, like the Red Bull planes. I swear to God, it looks awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely getting popular, and a lot of people are getting involved with it.
Yep. Yeah, hopefully, with all this crap going on with everybody saying drones this and drones that, you know, don't know the difference between a drone and a quadcopter.
I know.
And all the crap in the media, it makes me nervous of buying a nice expensive one.
Right. How about you, CPO? What, you got anything to add or question?
Well, no, I just want to, you know, talk a little bit about, I know I've spotlighted you before on the P-51 that you've been working on, and we finally saw a maiden flight from that. So why don't you tell us a little bit of story about the P-51 and kind of give us some background as your inspiration, because you did some pretty creative things to get that thing built to begin with. So tell us a little bit about that little airplane.
That was definitely fun. That was my first time actually making a canopy. But, I mean, yeah, it just started off with a friend of mine on Facebook, Carl Schroeder, I believe, over in Iowa. He sent me a box of goodies just for me and my daughter to make random projects with. I thought that was awesome, so I dedicated that first video of the Pink Panther towards him to thank him for that, because he had sent me those wheels for the project there originally. But all I got was just the wing in my hand, and I was like, I've always wanted a P-51. I've got a whole pile of styrofoam in my bedroom. Why don't I just make the body? It was ambitious, but with a little bit of patience with the foam wire cutter and then sanding it down, it took shape.
It looked nice, for sure.
Yep. And then the canopy
part. What did you end up doing for the canopy? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say next, because everybody else understands the rest of what I did to make it with the tail section and everything, but the canopy part, that was tricky. My buddy John, he's sitting here next to me right now. He helped me with that. He held the heat gun, a regular monocoat heat gun with the narrow tip on it, and I used my daughter's Barbie box plastic, because I had a bunch of clear plastic. I always keep it around in case I'm going to do a project, and whenever they're opening their presents and stuff, they laugh at me because I'm keeping this stuff, but they're not laughing when they see what I make with it. Like recycling all the way, man. But yeah, made that wooden plug. My grandfather, when he passed away, he passed me a bunch of tools in. I got this nice belt sander. So I grabbed a 2x4, drew like on the side the shape of the canopy, then drew on the top the bottom shape of the canopy, cut it out with a jigsaw, and you end up with this square ugly thing. So then I took it on that belt sander and rounded it and shaped it and shaped it and lost a fingernail and a half, but eventually it took a nice shape, and you don't really have to get it baby smooth. The plastic doesn't show too many imperfections unless you're going to have a camera inside, and then you're going to want a better plastic than Barbie box plastic or something that you're recycling. I mean, the visibility through it isn't the greatest, nice. But just for to make the plane look scale, that's all I cared about. But it worked pretty good. I mean, just went there and held it over the heat gun in circles, and then when it felt like it was sagging, we sloped it over there. I'm holding the sheet with heat gloves, and then I stretched it, and I just squeezed it and squeezed it, and every time we'd find a ripple, he'd go over with the heat gun, and I'd grab it with the gloves and squeeze that ripple out, and it took us about like 20 minutes, but we got it.
Awesome.
Nice. Yeah, it turned out nice. Well, and then I know you mentioned everybody knows, but just for the people that may not have seen it, how did you make the tail feathers?
The tail, you mean the vertical and horizontal stabilizer there. One of them was out of that regular takeout styrofoam stuff from down here at the gas station. And the other one was regular foam board. And I just put some clear packing tape on it and cut a little hinge, kind of like a flight test hinge on it.
Very cool.
So
then there's the maiden flight.
Right.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe that. I put that battery on the wrong side of the wing underneath there. That was horrible.
So what happened exactly?
Well, I originally had the battery in this underneath, like, Velcroed just to the bottom of it because I ran out of room. When I put it together, I didn't do like I usually do and just temporarily tape everything on top of the plane to find the proper balance point of where I should mount everything.
Mm-hmm.
I just started throwing it all in there. I was so used to building the bigger planes, I forgot. I need a spot in the front to make it nose heavy enough. And then I forgot all about the torque roll. So I offset the motor down and to the right a little bit, but that wasn't enough. I could still feel it really wanting to torque hard to the left. So when it's on its maiden toss in my living room, I mounted the battery on the underneath the right side of the wing, and it didn't torque to the left. But when I got to the field, I just threw it on there. I completely spaced it. It was so cold that day, I couldn't even think straight.
So how did the maiden go?
Nice.
Which maiden are you talking about?
The P-51.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were talking about that. Oh, you didn't see the video, did you?
I didn't.
No. Yeah, mayday.
See, I saw the video. That's why I'm asking the questions.
Oh, okay. You know, who's the one? Mike, you haven't seen?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it yet. I've had a busy week, and I missed a few videos this week, so I've kind of missed out on that one until the CPO told me about it before we started recording. I was like, oh, no, I didn't see that.
It was an explosion of styrofoam.
Really?
Oh, hardcore. Whatever. I laughed it off, and I said, hey, I got it on video, man.
Nice.
I can build another one. It'll only take me another couple to build another fuselage.
Did you post the video in the RC Hangar Time group?
Yeah, I believe I did, because that build and the other couple of builds, I was pretty much, out of all the groups that I'm in, I was keeping it in just Groundbound Aviators and this group.
Nice. Yeah, I'll have to go and check that out after the show today.
I think you post... He posts in the Flight Club group.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I try and keep when I'm doing a build, I don't just to all the groups. I'll pick a few of my favorite groups and I'll send them to just those groups so that way they can watch the whole build from beginning to end. Otherwise, it's kind of like you guys got to like look for the rest of the videos, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. So many groups out there.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I haven't had many problems with spammers in my group though.
That's good.
pretty well, and I didn't even start it to be serious about a group or anything. It was just mainly for, like I had a few hundred friends that were all around the world that wanted to meet other people over here and talk with them, and it's like, well, shoot, I'm just going to put a group together to have them all talk.
Right.
It works pretty good. Usually if there's a question that I can't answer, pretty one awesome. Of my friends on there can answer it for me.
Yeah, yep, that's how they work out well that way.
Better than Google search.
Exactly. So real quick, do you got any questions for us, for CPO or myself?
Oh, God. Too many to remember right now. I was thinking about this earlier, too, just in case you asked me this. What do we have to look forward to for this winter's projects?
How about you, CPO?
It's a good question. I'm definitely going to be doing the FPV quad racer. That's a guaranteed done deal. I kind of want to, I want to build a smaller 455 size, maybe a 500 size heli for my son. So I might do that over the winter time. And I might be looking at trying to do a sort of an aerobatic plane, like an extra 300 or something like that. Something a little bit more 3D capable.
Extra's perfect for it. Like small, like
yeah,
foamy?
Yeah, so no. It's gonna be a balsa build.
Precision aerobatics. Do that one.
We'll see what I come up with, but... Nice. Say that again?
I said one of these years I'd like to get a nice ARF kit and build it up.
Yeah, I've been having a ball with the ARFs. That's pretty much all I've been building on the balsa side of things. I just don't have the time or the patience probably to build from scratch, but the ARFs have been pretty good to me. If I can keep these.
Are you there, CPO?
Yeah, can you hear me?
There you are. You're getting a little glitchy there. I'll go ahead and say what I'm going to build this week. Or this winter. I talked about it earlier with CPO. I'm thinking about building a mini hex for FPV racing, little hexacopter. So I'm narrowing down my frames on that and hopefully ordering that here in the next week or two. And I'm very tempted to get that Goblin 380. So I'm thinking about getting that this winter and putting one of those together, because I love the Goblin helis. I've had a few of them. I've had the 700 and the 500, and they've been awesome helis. So I'm really liking that smaller 380 size. Just kind of pack it up, take it wherever.
Yeah, you're definitely pretty good at flying them. I was watching a few of your videos.
Yeah, I love flying helis. But it's right now, I really haven't had any interest in flying helis. It's been about the FPV racing. I've been totally involved in the FPV racing, and I really haven't even looked at my helis or wanted to fly my helis lately. So who knows if I'll get the Goblin now. I may get too deep into this FPV racing stuff and not fly any helis for a while, but we'll see. It usually goes in spurts with everything, Kind of get bored of this and then go back to helis and then go back to FPV. So we'll see.
The technology is so insane now.
Oh, yeah.
God, I can remember back when the controllers were these ugly boxes with just one stick and a light bulb. And a big old antenna.
I know, right?
My God. I have my grandfather's transmitter. That's kind of nice.
How old's that?
It's an old Futaba. Or what is it? Tower Hobbies? I think, it's Tower Hobbies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the plane that I got from him that wasn't finished was the J3 Piper Cub that's got that 8-foot wing, or no, 7-foot wingspan. That was a stick-build kit, but it is crazy what those helicopters can do nowadays.
Oh, yeah, they're coming up with new moves and new maneuvers all the time. These pros are really throwing down some crazy stuff and putting together some crazy routines with them. It's
and so close. It makes me nervous. I'm sometimes and I'm like, whoa.
Oh yeah. God. It's definitely insane. It's a lot of fun to watch, and I even at the field too when I see these guys flying like that, it's like, wow, it's
mad props.
Yeah. It's a lot of skill and a lot. They're really quick on their reaction time. So
yeah.
Which you have to be to fly helis.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot going on. It's not like with a plane. There's like at least four things going on at once. And when it's 3D, it's a whole new game.
Exactly.
I mean, I do all right on my simulator, but I don't dare to put a lot of money into one and fly them because I've seen what the ones look like on the simulator.
Right.
Yeah, I get the orientation confused when I get into the spins. I can do like TikToks with it and stuff like that, or just fly it upside down. But when you start doing crazy spins with spinning the tail up and around, I just completely lose what's going on and go dumb thumb.
Yeah, it takes a lot of practice to kind of get a feel for it and learn those pyro flips and that kind of stuff. How about you, CPO? You got a question this time for Rick?
No. I guess. What's next on your build list? Let's turn this back around.
Oh, God. This winter? I'm not sure yet. I know.
Probably 10 different ones.
On my shopping list is going to be some Fast Shark goggles and get set up with FPV, because I want to slap that on that Frostbite creation that I have. I want to race around on top of the snow this winter, FPV.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That Frostbite looks a lot of fun.
Oh, man. I mean, the original design had a rudder on the back, but it just, I could not get that thing to go straight at high speeds. And the reason I built that was the airboat would flip if I hit a high speed, no matter what I had for weight in that thing. It would flip sideways, or it would flip forward. You know, the front would come up. Air kept getting underneath it. So I wanted to build something that would stay down on the ground and not lift up. That's pretty much where that came from. I was looking at one of those boats on TV with the pontoons in the front like that. And I was like, maybe make something like that, but have them steer.
Nice. Yeah, that would be a lot of fun, FPV.
Yeah. It was pretty simple to make the steering in the front. It was just two wooden sticks that are parallelogramming. Slap the servo on the inside, and bam, steering.
Awesome. Yeah, those videos from that are a lot of fun, and especially in the snow. That's always a lot of fun get video. And
I love powder.
I'm sure. Yeah, I might have to look into one of those if we keep getting a lot of snow this year. I'll need something to go out there and tool around with. That's with some FPV.
Yeah, if anybody wants any help on the build, definitely contact me on Facebook and ask me. I can send information like measurements and, you know, photos and stuff so you guys can build your own.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we got one more guy that we got to get onto the show, so you know, I wanted to say thanks for coming on and talking with us and, you know, getting to know you a little bit, and hopefully you had a lot of fun with it.
Oh, definitely. I was honored to be on here, man.
No problem. Hopefully we'll get you on again sometime soon.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. I'll keep listening, though.
All right. Have a good night. Yeah, you too. Have a good one, man.
All right. Peace out.
Yep. Thanks, man. Bye. See ya.
So for the listeners, we're adding Derek Townsend into the call or to the show, and we're going to interrogate him a little bit, and he might ask us a few questions, and we'll get right into it. What do you got for him, CPO?
Well, what have you been up to lately? What do you, I guess for people that, that don't know who you are, I mean, I think Mike and I know you fairly well from hanging out, in various venues, but what do you fly? What have you been up to lately? That kind of stuff, just for everyone to catch up with you.
Okay. Well, I'm from Muncie, Indiana. My name's Derek Townsend, and, what I normally fly is RC helicopters, a couple small quads, and really not a lot has been going on recently. I've kind of been stalled waiting on a new kit and made a few orders, so I've got a few things coming in, but it's getting down to that slow time of the season.
Right. Winter coming and all?
Yeah, with winter coming, we've had a lot of rain, and it snowed last week. And just the temperatures have been all over the place, so really it hasn't been really conducive to flying.
Yeah, same here. We've been getting snow. It snowed all day yesterday and all night last night, and temperatures last week didn't get above 30, so it's been a fun few weeks, and it's just going to get worse here.
Yeah, we have a saying here in Indiana, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes.
Right.
I think they have that saying everywhere.
I know.
True.
Texas is, if you don't like the weather, go across the street.
So what's next on your list of coolness? What do you got on the build bench right now?
Right now I have parts on the bench, but I don't have the kit for it yet. As some of you may know, I won the Facebook contest for the Alias Rush 750 Evolution. So there was some backups with them getting the kit shipped out because of the fact of the Hong Kong protests going on that kind of tied up customs and had some issues going on with getting stuff out of the warehouse and factory over there in Hong Kong. So hopefully the ship date that they've given was November the 25th. So hopefully here in about a week or so, I may have a 750 getting ready to be built.
Yeah, you're lucky to win that.
I was really stoked.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I put in for that too and tried to win that too. And when I saw your name, I was like, well, at least somebody I know and somebody in the flight club won it.
Yes, that was something I forgot to mention also about the flight club. I am the Indiana chapter president of the flying club here in Indiana. So we have one other member. His name is Kelly Cadill. And he, unfortunately, I tried to get to see if he wanted to come on tonight, but he was not able to come on. So we're trying to get a helicopter club together out here.
Awesome.
And as far as other projects on the bench, I'm actually getting ready to pull the trigger on a 250 racing quad.
Yeah, that seems to be the popular topic.
And everybody else.
Yep.
It seems like everybody we've talked to so far today is talking 250 FPV racing. That's very, very popular. After those first few videos of the Star Wars pod racing that those guys put out, I think everybody wanted to get in on that. And I'm getting way addicted to it. I'm having way too much fun, and I keep looking at other frames and more FPV racing, you know, quads and hexes. I'm looking at getting a hex now, and just... And it's never ending. I'm looking at other 450 frames and like, this one seems better than the one I got. Maybe I need to try this out. So I don't want to say too much, but I may be getting a different 250 frame here shortly as well.
Right on.
Nice. That's awesome. So, man, I don't know. I was going to ask you if there's anything really happening in Muncie with a helicopter club. It seems like you would think that, you know, with the AMA headquarters being there and IRCHA being there, that there would be like a hotbed year round of RC modeling activity. But doesn't sound like it's that amazing off season, is it?
Not in the off season. And really, out at the International Aero Modeling Center here in Muncie, we do have like the National Electric Fly-In, and then there is the XFC that's out here sometimes every year. But I've noticed something about the helicopter hobby, the helicopter side of the hobby. There's a lot of guys that fly planks out there, and a lot of 3D plane pilots out there, but there's not a whole lot of activity that I've seen helicopter-wise other than IRCHA and if there's an event. However, in Indianapolis, there is a helicopter club. They've recently moved their field. I'm supposed to go down there next season. I was going to try and get down there. They do indoor flights during the winter, but I was going to try and get down there next season to see if I could get out there and meet up with a few people. But as far as Muncie goes, typically when I've got the helis and I go out there, I'm the only person flying. And CPO, you were at IRCHA this year, and you saw the flying field out there. That's, yep. Site 3 is dedicated to helicopters. Any aircraft can fly out there, but it's dedicated. That's the heli corner. They like to kind of tuck us off to the side away from the main runway. It's very, very plank dominated.
That's out smart.
There. But typically every time I've gone out to the field, I've been one of maybe two people out there, and the other person had just finished flying a nitro plane, so I've not seen any other heli pilots.
Wow.
They apparently exist here in Muncie. I know I've heard here and there that people, I have a friend that flies helicopters, and I was like, well, hey, have them get a hold of me, you know, that kind of thing. And I never see these people. They're like, they're harder to find than Bigfoot.
Nice.
In fact, I would not be surprised if I went out to the field one day and saw a Bigfoot flying a 600-size heli.
That's the ultimate. When you have Bigfoot flying a heli, you know you found the magic unicorn.
Yeah, and it's just one of those odd things. I really wish there was more helicopter activity out here, just because we have this great flying field out here with lots of space, you know, and urches held here every year. The Jamboree is proof that there people will come from all over the world to hear for that, but for some reason there's just no local support.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is one of the biggest events for helicopters. People come there year round to fly, you know, once a year, but yet other than that there's not much people flying helis,
at least that I have seen. And that's what really bothers me. And I've tried to get things going before, but it just doesn't really pan out a lot of the time. And a lot of it is, I've heard that a lot of these guys, they work in like factories, so they hardly have any time. And it could be that I'm just missing people when I get out there. But I'm trying to get together, maybe get it some flyers together to put around up at Ball State University here.
Nice. And
see if there's anybody that would be interested, that kind of thing. Now, I have seen some quads flying around.
Yeah. Everybody's flying quads now.
I have seen some quads and some hexes flying around, but I can never find the pilot, because usually by the time I spot it, I look around, and they've either landed or taken off.
Crazy. So,
kind of finding them without getting out some way of tracking their radio signal.
Nice. So I had a quick question for you.
Sure.
How did you get into this hobby of flying things, and how long have you been doing it?
Okay, I've been flying for 2 years, and the way that I got into it, and this goes with a little bit of exposition here. Back in the 90s, I used to competitively race RC cars.
Right.
And my uncle purchased a Haribo shuttle back then, and he could never get the thing to fly, and I was always interested in it. Always had an interest in helicopters. Well, never really got into the helicopter side or flight side of it just because of the expense, which is kind of odd coming from a car guy because, you know, we dump tons of money into the cars anyway.
Right.
So what happened then was a couple Christmases ago, my mother purchased my son a little coaxial helicopter. And he couldn't fly it, and I spent hours upon hours trying to get the thing trimmed out to fly, and it was just a little mall copter. And I finally got it to hold a hover, and I was really impressed with how it flew. So I started looking into other larger models, and I remembered seeing that Haribo shuttle. So I started checking around online, and I ran into CPO's videos for the collective pitch stuff for the Terra 450, and that was about a year later. In between that time, I'd had some fixed pitch helicopters that I'd purchased on eBay, and they really just did not perform the way I wanted to. So searching around on YouTube, I ran into CPO's videos and ended up purchasing a Hausler 450. And that was an adventure.
Yeah.
To say the least. The whole ready to fly. But
yeah.
The CPO's videos really helped me out, as well as several other users on YouTube, just going in and looking and stuff up, and I finally did my first maiden flight that actually looked somewhat like a flight, and I've been going ever since. So
nice.
Awesome. Do you got any questions for us?
Not really, because I see you guys online all the time, and anytime I have a question, I usually ask it there.
Right. You're pretty active in the group, and I'm glad that you've joined the group and the Flying Club as well. You've been a great addition, and seems like you enjoy having a lot of fun with us in the group, and you get it.
I get it. Yes, I get it. Maybe one question I do have is for CPO, have you got any flight times in on that Raptor yet? On the any more flight time on that?
No. It sucks, but I haven't been able to get to the flying field since I built the Raptor. So it is hanging beautifully on the wall in the basement, and I've done some short sort of like tight circuits in the front yard, but I haven't really taken it out and let it run. And I'm hoping to do that soon, but I've got that, and I've got my Apollo 50 that I have yet to maiden because I haven't been able to get out to a place to fly. So, no.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it sucks. And the weather is against me right now. The weather and the daylight savings, you know, has killed me because now it gets dark. When I get off from work, it's dark. So there's not even a chance to sneak off and catch a flight after work like I do in the summertime.
That's why you need a night flying rig, man.
Yeah, I'm almost there. That's the one thing I haven't done yet is night flying. So maybe that's next on my list.
Right. You know, that brings up a good question. Have you guys seen some of these FPV cameras with the bigger lenses that are better for low lighting situations? I wonder if they're able to fly in the dark with these things.
You know, that's a good quandary.
Because I've seen a lot of guys with these. I mean, the lenses on these things are huge. They're 40, 50 millimeter. I can't remember the exact number. I'm not going to say. But they're huge. They're like three times the size as, you know, my lens on my FPV camera. But they're saying that at dusk and low light, they have zero issues with visibility. So I'm wondering what kind of lens or what kind of setup you would need for some FPV flying at night. Because imagine some FPV racing at night. That would be insane.
That'd be crazy. And as a spectator, all you hear is this buzzing sound. Like, I don't know where it's
going. Well, everybody would have to have lights, and that would be awesome, too, for some long exposure shots of the racetracks. I mean, thinking about this, I think that's my next venture. I think that's what I'm going to do.
I will say, I'm slightly embarrassed to admit, but I did take my tricopter out with the FPV setup at night just to see what I could see through the camera, because the camera says, you know, it's a day-night camera. So I thought, well, I wonder what I could get away with at night. And as long as there's a little bit of light, I can kind of see what's going on. But outside of that, it's just pitch black. So I was like, oh, come on. That'd be so awesome to go fly around in the dark. But
right,
it didn't work the way I was hoping it would.
Might need some kind of infrared night vision camera.
Yeah, you could put infrared little like an LED or something on it, pointing forward and try and scatter some light in front of you. But
and I think I've seen some guys flying. I don't know if they were actually flying FPV or they were actually recording video from a multirotor that was actually like night vision. I've seen that a lot, like last year or something. So, kind
of.
Yeah,
I believe there's a couple YouTube videos out there of some that I've seen that was a night vision camera on a quad, but I don't know if they were doing any FPV.
Because if it's like the GoPro, you know, you can view and record through the GoPro or the Mobius. So if it's like that, then that's the ticket right there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe those Predator drones. If somebody could get a hold of some of the technology for the cameras on those, then maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if we'd be putting that stuff on our FPV racers, though. I think that's a little bit
a little heavy.
Right.
and I said the D word. That's bad of me.
Yeah, you're done. You're gone.
It's required now. It's FCC rules that you have to mention the word drone at least once in any RC related discussion.
Oh, is that something that was new that was added to the special rules there or what? Because I wasn't just that.
Just so that everybody knows what you're talking about. Quadcopter? I don't know what that is. Drone? Oh, okay. I know what that is.
It leads up to that picture I posted on the
Facebook. Yeah. Yeah, I love that picture.
So,
I'm just happy they're not calling them killer drones yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that'll be coming soon. Which actually kind of scares me because that new DJI Inspire kind of reminds me of a drone in the video game Deus Ex. I don't know if you guys have played any of the Deus Ex video games or seen any of that. They have these drones that fly around in that game, and that DJI Inspire looks an awful lot like that. And that's kind of scary that you say killer drones, because I could just imagine somebody deciding to be stupid with that.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's not give anybody any stupid ideas.
Yes, no ideas. Disclaimer.
That's right.
So, a question for Mike, real quick. Do you have any events that you go to for your FPV racing, or do you have anything like that planned?
Yeah, I've actually started a Utah FPV racing club. So I've got about 10 or so people that have joined so far. And we're just setting up some ground rules and, you know, working on getting our first race scheduled. So we've got a 250 class going. Everybody signed up for 250 class. There's a few people with, you know, a tricopter and a couple people with some hexes. And, you know, there's me and one other guy that have, you know, we've got an unlimited class. So anything 450 size and up, we'll be racing as well. So we're looking to get our first race going after Thanksgiving, so that maybe the first weekend of December we'll have our first race of the season. We're doing a whole point series race where we'll do, you know, our point series season. So we'll have a race every month, and you'll earn points for your race for the position that you finish in. You'll also get points for just starting the race because, you know, some people may crash out or break. So we want to give them some points just for starting the race so that they're not getting way behind if they happen to crash or whatever. So it'll be an interesting series to see how that goes and how that all pans out.
Definitely sounds cool.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
The reason I ask is that was, since I was getting into the 250 FPV quad myself here real soon, that maybe that might be something that I could add later on and talk to the people out at the AMA field to see if they would like hold possibly FPV races out there.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And maybe cool. Maybe generate a little bit more power to the hobby out here.
Right. Yeah, being that we're in Utah, we've got a lot of open area, so we can go, we're going to plan our races out in the desert or out in the mountains or wherever, you know, that we're going to try to stay away from the parks and the AMA fields, because I don't want to have to worry about people trying to fly their airplanes or their helicopters out of the field or be like, hey, you guys got to stop flying. We're going to race. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, totally. And the reason that I brought up the AMA field out here is because they hold pylon races out here.
Right.
Every once in a while at the International Modeling Center.
Yeah, our club does that too here.
And out there, there's a lot of space out there. And even just using Site 3 or Site 4 out there, from Site 3 to Site 4, that whole field out there is great. It'd be kind of flat. But there's also a lot of farmland out here in Muncie, in the surrounding rural areas. It's Indiana, so there's lots and lots of corn, of course. But we have some wooded areas also as well that aren't parks. And there are several people that own large tracts of land that possibly could be contacted, you know, maybe they're into the hobby or not. So that's kind of why I was asking, just to see if I could maybe generate a little bit of interest out of this area for that.
Yeah, I'm sure. The way that this quad racing is going, I'm sure that there are plenty of people are going to be interested, involved in all states. I mean, and if they don't know about it, and once they see it, I think a lot of people will be even more interested in it. So I'm curious to see how big this thing is going to grow, even in my state. I mean, once we have our first few races, and, you know, 10 people is fine for now, but if it gets, you know, more than 20, 30 people or 40 people, God, that would be just insane. I don't know if I want to deal with that many people because, you know, before I got into flying, I was into racing cars, of course, and then radio-controlled rock crawling. And we were super competitive in radio-controlled rock crawling. And since we're in Utah and we have tons of that kind of landscape, I mean, Moab is just a few hours from me. We had a comp every month. And we'd pull at least 75 to 100 people at a comp every month. So it was a lot of work, and it got just really crazy.
Wow.
So, I mean, it'd be cool if the FPV racing gets that way, but hopefully it'll grow that way and not just all of a sudden explode that way, because that'll be just an insane amount of work on my part, you know what I mean? And I'm plenty busy. I've got plenty of stuff going on. Awesome. Right. You got anything else, CPO?
No, I'm good, man.
Cool. Well, I want to say thanks to Derek for coming on the show and talking with us. I know that we've talked a lot on the groups, and it's good to get you on and find out a little bit more about you.
Oh, it was good to be on. And actually, just so you know, this was my very first podcast I've ever been on, so thanks for the opportunity.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll have to get you on again sometime for sure.
Excellent.
So definitely.
Pretty cool.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, sounds good. Have a good one, Derek.
Appreciate it, man.
Too.
See ya.
Yeah, we'll later. See you around. Well, that'll wrap it up.
You've been listening to RC Hangar Time, a podcast dedicated to the RC aircraft hobby. For more info, you can go to our website at www.rchangartime.com or look for us on Facebook at RC Hangar Time. And if you have any questions, please feel free to email us. For Mike, it's mike@rchangartime.com. For Wade, that's wade@rchangartime.com. Dustin, you guessed it, Dustin@rchangartime.com. And for TJ, it's crash@rchangartime.com. What the heck? Anyways, again, thanks for listening and keep flying.